Joining us now, as he does this time every Monday, our aviation analyst, Jay Ratliff. Hey, Jay, happy Monday. Good to talk to you.
And same to you. Good morning.
Good morning. Let's start with this plane crash in South Korea from a couple of weeks ago. What's the latest on the investigation there?
Well, you know, both of the black boxes have been recovered, and over the weekend, the CVR, the cockpit voice recorder, was converted to an audio file. This is going to allow the investigators to review the conversations that took place on the flight deck, as well as any other alarms that might have been active that they could hear in the background. And the clues are going to help the team to kind of direct their investigation accordingly. Now, the flight data recorder, which was the second black box, did sustain some damage in the crash. It was sent to the National Transportation Safety Board in D.C., and hopefully information gleaned here will help add some additional clues for investigators to use. And I suspect, even though that this investigation from start to finish could take 12 to 18 months, I suspect within the next probably week or so, we may get an initial indication in a release of a statement with regards to some of the initial things that they have discovered as far as what may or may not have contributed to that crash. Obviously, one of the big things I'm interested in finding out is whether or not there was a hydraulic issue that prevented them from lowering the landing gear, which, again, you and I talked about can be done manually. So, just a lot of questions here, and we've got to find out what took place and what caused the plane to come down like that to try to prevent that type of thing from happening in the future.
You mentioned that one of the black boxes that sustained some damage was sent to the NTSB in D.C. This is a South Korea plane that crashed. Is it pretty common to see a foreign plane crash with D.C. being involved in it?
Yeah, because what happens is when there's a plane crash like this, the government has the option, if they so choose, to bring in individuals from the National Transportation Safety Board to help assist in that country's investigation. And they did reach out and request that assistance, knowing that they might be limited in what they can get. And I was really glad to see that, because a lot of times with countries in the past, when there's been a crash, they've been very protective, very secretive, if you will, with regards to things. And they don't want anybody other than people they can control involved in the investigation. So what's taking place here, when you see the NTSB getting involved, they've requested an official from Boeing to be there as well to assist in the investigation. That means they're bringing in a lot of players from around the world to help find out exactly what happened. And seeing that many people involved makes me feel good, because that means there's a pretty good chance that if there is embarrassing information on the airline, that it won't be suppressed, that they'll share it. Because we've got to find out what happened so that other airlines around the world can learn from this and we can make commercial aviation safer as a result. And you and I have talked about it for years. The best way to honor the lives of those that were lost is by learning what happened and doing everything humanly possible to prevent any of this from ever happening again.
Let me change gears on you, Jay. American Airlines flight attendant accused of wearing a pro-Palestinian lapel pin. What's that all about?
Well, you know, American says you can wear certain pins, military pins, religious pins, those types of things. But beyond that, that's not, no more. And we had a flight attendant from American that had what was being considered a pro-Palestinian pin. And as a result, you had some passengers on board the flight before it left that complained that they were a bit bothered by that. And then there got to be a conversation back and forth, and the passengers started videotaping it. The flight attendant said, stop. The people wanted to get off the plane. They weren't allowed to initially. It was just a big-time back-and-forth type of thing. American Airlines is investigating it to see what happened. But, you know, a lot of times agents know what the rules are. Employees are very clear on what the rules are. But they tend to kind of deviate from it anyways. We talked a couple weeks ago about the employee from Alaska Airlines that got a tattoo on their hand, knowing that there was a non-tattoo policy for anything that's exposed skin on the part of the airline. She was fired, thought it was wrongfully so. But, you know, again, these agents are very clear on what is and is not allowed, and we're always ambassadors for the company that we work for, and there's always a set of rules we have to abide by. But some people kind of decide to, you know, push that boundary anyways, and for those that do, they get to they suffer the consequences.
Jay, what are our hub delays today?
Oh, Lord, how much time we got? In essence, anything east of the Mississippi and north is giving us some problems today. We've got de-icing delays, snow delays. The last time I checked, we had 1,791 flights that were delayed. That number is much more than that now. Flight cancellations are continuing to accumulate. So if you're flying today, get to the airport early so that the agents have the opportunity to take care of you. But, you know, the good news to this storm is it didn't happen a week or two ago.
Yeah.
It happened now when we have fewer people flying, and that is certainly some good news.
Jay, do you have advice to our listeners that are flying this winter, what they should and shouldn't be doing as they head to the airports, and maybe there is some bad weather, either where they're coming from or where they're going?
Well, the first thing is to make sure the airlines have a way to get a hold of you with your cell phone or email. And the second thing is if you see a winter storm is about to pound a part of the country that you're headed to, contact the airline and ask about a waiver, because many times they will allow us to postpone our trip to a later date and not hit us with a change fee because of the weather that we don't want to fly through. And most of the time the airlines are pretty accommodating on that, where, you know, if there's a slight change in fare, you may be responsible for that. But the change fee itself, it's $150 or whatever the airline might assess, they will waive that to better accommodate us. And they're very good. Even though the customer service on airlines really stinks, there are times during times of irregular operation that airlines will go out of the way for us. So if you're scheduled to fly in a situation like this where you just don't feel comfortable driving to the airport, get a hold of the airline and see if you can't postpone that trip. Now, you're not going to be able to refund it, but you can look for some alternatives, and at least for the most part, airlines are willing to work with.
Jay, as I let you go, if folks have problems with their airline, where can they contact you?
JRatliff.com, that's my business website. I teach people how to flip stocks, but more importantly, far more importantly, if you've got a situation with an airline, reach out to me through that site, and as quickly as my schedule allows at JRatliff.com, I'll get right back to you, because believe me, I love holding airlines accountable.
He's our aviation analyst, Jay Ratliff, who joins us this time every Monday. Jay, appreciate the time as always. Have a great week. Talk to you next week.
I cannot wait. Thank you.